This is the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders. Here's your host, Eddie Pasca.
Eddie Pascal, 1220 Harbor Bay Parkway, producer Trav on the ones and twos per usual. And I mean, all kidding aside, this offseason really hasn't felt like an offseason at all. There's a ton of stuff going on. It seems like every day there's a personnel move, a couple personnel moves, something's going on. It's been a whirlwind since head coach John Gruden got back out of the booth and took control back here of the silver and black. So just a quick aside back to the Wayback Machine. Draft ended about a week and a half ago, which obviously means rookie minicamp. But before rookie minicamp, we take a look at the undrafted guys. The undrafted free agents, kind of that mad scramble as soon as the draft ends, and the scouts and the personnel dudes just start calling. It kind of reminds me of like a New York Stock Exchange type of deal. So when all was said and done, Raiders had six undrafted free agents they announced late last week. Marcus Baugh, Saeed Blackmail, Jason Kabinda, Alex Officer, Eddie Pinheiro, and Nick Sharga. So six guys, not as many guys as we're accustomed to seeing the past couple years, but makes sense. You can only have 90 guys on the roster. The Raiders have been wheeling and dealing, like we've said, all offseason, flipping this roster in head coach John Gruden's image. So it makes sense. Six guys that come in. We'll touch on these guys in a little bit, but like we said, rookie minicamp was last weekend. So the rookies touched down here on Thursday, for orientation. We sat them all down in the studio, talked to them about, just what a wild week it's been for them. So they did that. They got their numbers. They got their helmets. They got fitted for gear. They met the coaches, all that jazz on Thursday. And then Friday, boom, right into it, rookie minicamp. So now, just to discuss rookie minicamp and everything that's been happening, we bring in our senior rookie minicamp correspondent, Kyle Martin.
Happy to be here, Eddie.
Absolutely.
Yes. Feels good to be back in the lab.
Absolutely. So, all right, dude, rookie minicamp. It's a lot. I mean, it's so obviously your Derek Carrs, your Khalil Max, Coop, Jordy Nelson, all those dudes, obviously not at rookie minicamp. Rookie minicamp for the rookies, obviously, but also guys who have less than a year of recruit experience, right? So guys like Pharaoh Brown.
Keon Hatcher,
yeah, another perfect example. So guys like that who have seen some time on the roster, but, in fits and spurts and not really anything of substance. So honestly, for guys like that, though, I think rookie minicamp is like a great opportunity to just get extra work, right? I mean, guys who have been in the league, not eligible, but if you're right on that border, I mean, it's three more days to work with the new coaching staff. It's three more days on the field. It's three more days in the playbook, three more days of everything. So it's good. I really like it. I think, for them, it's a huge benefit. And obviously for these rookies, it's, their first kind of welcome to the NFL. We're here, we're rocking, we're rolling. Let's get on the field and see what's up. So you were at rookie minicamp all weekend. We were there Friday. I was there for a little bit Saturday, but you were there the whole time. Just top line thoughts, guys that stood out to you. And actually, before we even get to that, I think one of the themes for us the past, month or two since, the team really got back on the field has been energy, right? I mean, Gruden is all energy all the time, high energy, feverish energy, a contained energy, right? Where he's not running around like a madman at all, but he's a high energy dude. So did that energy kind of translate to rookie minicamp this weekend?
Absolutely. The one thing that stands in my mind that will stay with me for a long time is that Gruden had all the guys in a huddle and he told them that enthusiasm is contagious. And I know that seems so simple, and I know positivity always is preached that you got to have a high energy level, you got to have a positive outlook on whatever it is you're doing, but it really went a long way with the guys because the entire weekend it was all about having fun. And I know that sounds so cliche to say football is fun, we should be having a good time, but truthfully, he set it up in such a way where there was competition and there was intensity, but all the guys were having fun. He was involved, he was coaching them up, he was telling them what they should be doing, he was demonstrating. There was no shortage of entertainment in terms of just seeing the coach love what he's doing. And the guys were engaged because of that. They're excited to see the passion that John Gruden has for football, that he's got for the Oakland Raiders. And they learned a little bit about the history of this organization as well over the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I think one thing that we've talked about time and time again in the past couple months is that Gruden is, before anything else, he's a coach, right? I mean, he's hands-on. He's, you know, getting in these guys' faces, and he's coaching. He's not, you know, that kind of CEO kind of head coach where he's just going to, you know, kind of walk around, shake some hands, oh, good stuff. He's, you know, clapping kind of guy. I mean, no, he's in it. He is rocking and rolling, and he is locked in, and there is a purpose for every movement. And I think that kind of, like you said, that energy is very contagious, right? Where guys who, I don't know if I have this last play in me. I don't know if I'm going to be able to, you know, finish this route. I mean, with Gruden watching, like, you're going to finish, right? I mean, it's that kind of infectious, powerful energy that I like that we talk about. I think it's very contagious.
Definitely. I mean, first, I'm always going to put my best foot forward if John Gruden's watching me play. You have to. Whether it's him or any football coach, if this is your one shot at making it to the league, you have to put all 110% effort out there. And I think, to your point, it's not like John Gruden is maliciously attacking these guys, trying to coach them up.
No, not at all.
It's positive criticism. He's telling them, you know, little minor tweaks that they might be doing to their game. He's getting in fired up. Fired up's the best way to describe it.
This is a complete aside, but, dude, do you remember the a couple years ago, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, friend of the program, he had that alarm clock app that came out?
No, this is not ringing any bells.
All right, so long story short, Dwayne The Rock Johnson had an app that pretty much took the place of your alarm clock on your phone or whatever. And every morning when it went off, it just, like, spouted out, like, positive, you can do it kind of messages. A Gruden one of those would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, man, just, I can't even imagine the types of things that would scream out at you right as you, the crack of dawn, the rooster's crowing,
yeah,
you hear Gruden barking at you from your bedside.
Right? I mean, and the thing with The Rock, too, is that The Rock's was, like, set for, like, the time, like, he woke up that morning. So if, like, he was waking up at, like, 4 a.m., you had, the option to wake up at 4 a.m. or whatever. But can you imagine getting awoken at 3:30 or whatever, 3:16, whatever time Gruden's waking up at, and just barking at you? I mean, you'd probably get to the gym at least.
Maybe, you know, I'd probably get a decent walk in or a nice run, but I can't imagine myself watching film at 3:45 in the morning, man. My eyes are halfway shut.
Yeah, right. Okay, so rookie minicamp, obviously, I guess leading into it, the draft class, right, the nine-man draft class, they obviously get a chance to get on the field, get their work in. They had kind of a different schedule, different program than the rest of the guys who were out there. Didn't go, the full 2.5-hour sessions, which makes sense, right? I mean, rookie minicamp, outside of getting these guys a chance to get in the playbook, break a sweat, it's really about seeing a lot of these undrafted and tryout guys get to work. I mean, what you really want to see from your draft class is you want to see them out there healthy. You want to see them running around. You really want to see them kind of that next level, that upper echelon, to say, like, hey, these are, you know, we drafted these guys for a reason. So being there all weekend, Kyle, and I know we just said they were kind of out there in a limited capacity, but who really stood out to you from the draft class itself? We'll get to the UDFAs and the tryout guys in a sec, but from the draft class, the 2018 class, who really kind of had you going, oh, okay.
Well, I mean, after we picked him in the third round, I was pretty fired up about Arden Key. But watching him this weekend work with Maurice Hurst and PJ Hall got me extremely excited to see what he's able to do with Khalil Mack and Bruce Irvin. He's obviously very explosive, as you can tell before this weekend, just watching him on tape and whatnot. But a lot of people like to use the word raw, but he's a little more polished than that. He's got the size and he's lengthy, man. He can blow past the edge. He can get low. He can really bend down to the ground and keep his balance. He's going to be a force to be reckoned with. I'm going to say it right now. The guy is exciting to watch.
Hot take Tuesday. How many sacks Arden Key 2018?
Oh, man. Bold prediction. Arden Key at least gets 5.5-6 sacks this year.
That's a good number. I can ride with that number. Yeah, dude. Arden Key is going to be a beast. Third rounder, but obviously first round kind of talent. And one thing I like about Arden Key, not lacking confidence at all. Dude is, like, fired up, knows he can be an elite pass rusher in this league, and I think it's just now he's got to prove it, right? I mean, and if best case scenario with him, he's kind of that perfect third rusher when Khalil needs a blow or Bruce needs a blow, and you bring in Arden Key in the fourth quarter when you need that big sack, you need that big tackle for loss on third down, he's going to hopefully be your guy.
Definitely. I also want to add, too, that he had the opportunity to go one-on-one with Colton Miller as a couple of the other pass rushers. Colton Miller's a tough guy to move.
Big man.
Yeah, as we've discussed, I mean, he's 6'9", 3'10", not someone that you can easily shove around. And he was, you know, knocking people off their path, doing everything necessary to be a dominant tackle on the either right or left side, no matter where you want to put him.
Sure. So, yeah, Arden Key, obviously beast. The one guy that I kind of stood out to me, and, like, you know, you can't really pick a bad guy at this point. I mean, everyone is – it's so fresh. Everyone's so fired up. But Mo Hurst is a guy that really stood out to me. And as dominant as he's, you know, as he can be on the field, and we've talked about it here a bunch, like, if Mo is rocking and rolling, steal the draft hands down at this point, right? Mm-hmm. A first-round guy you get in the fifth round. But what I really liked about Mo is kind of what he said off the field. He was, you know, obviously so much has been made about his health conditions and things like that. And, you know, he kind of said it, Coach Gruden said it, and he said, look, the heart, quote-unquote, issue isn't an issue, and I don't really want to talk about it anymore. You know, Gruden was like, look, let this dude play ball. You know, he's a young guy. He's here to play football. He's obviously, you know, his health is what it is, right? You know, no team is going to put him in a position to seriously damage himself, right? I think that it's kind of silly to quote an old friend of ours. I think it's a bit asinine to say that, like, oh, we're, you know, he's going to be put in a position where it's going to be a terrible prognosis for him or whatever it is. Look, you know, that's not what it is, right? And he's been asked about it time and time and time again. And for you know, good reason. Like, it's a fair thing to bring up. But that chapter is closed, right? The Mo Hurst heart chapter is closed. He was very, you know, very polite, very well spoken about it. Obviously, it's something he's thought a lot about. And, you know, him and Coach were kind of in lockstep being like, look, this chapter of Mo Hurst's career is done. The heart issue is not something we're going to talk about anymore. And I think that for a young guy like him in his position, that's got to be such a relief off of his shoulders that he's not going to have to be asked about this over and over and again. Let this dude go out there, play football, be who he is, and let's move on from it. Coach said it the best. Look, we're not here to discuss Mo's heart anymore. It is what it is, and we're on to the next. And like I said, I know we're going round and around, but I thought Mo handled it exceptionally well, right? I mean, I can't imagine how frustrating and tiring it is to have to answer the same question over and over and over again and to constantly have to tell people, look, I'm okay. It's something I'm going to deal with. I have to get it checked out every year, but I am okay. You know, so that was great to hear. And so this is us officially putting Mo's heart, you know, his situation to bed too. So that is the last you're going to hear from us talking about Mo's heart. But yeah, on the field, dude can be a dominant interior rusher. Absolutely dominant. I mean, you look at this guy, you look at his production in college, playing against big, top-tier kind of talent, dude's a monster, right? And you look at this defensive line all of a sudden, Bruce, Khalil, your guy Arden Key, PJ Hall, Big Jelly, Mo Hurst in the middle, there's something cooking there. There is definitely something cooking.
There's got to be a lot of moving pieces up front that are going to draw a lot of attention. I don't care who you are, what offensive line's playing against that D-line. You can't be doubling up on anyone.
No, not at all. And, you know, the one thing that we've heard time and time again about Mo, I think it's two things, right, is just his strength. Like, he is a strong, quick, big fella, which is music to my ears. And the other thing is that he's just like a high character, good dude, courageous, you know, guy that you want to go be in the trenches with kind of guy. And I think that oftentimes in the NFL, like, that kind of stuff gets looked over a little bit, right? Where you just want, like, you just look at a guy's production. You just look at a guy and, oh, he had X amount of sacks, X tackles for loss in X games during his college career. But I think that there is something to be said for being a good teammate, a courageous guy, a guy that your teammates want to line up against. And I think that's Mo Hurst. So obviously I'm pounding the drum for Mo Hurst. He's a guy that I really am looking forward to, one, getting to know a little bit better, but two, seeing on Sundays. So rookie minicamp was our first kind of chance to do that. And I think the future is so bright for this dude. And I'm fired up. You fired up?
How couldn't you be? After that, you know, I mean, singing the guy's praises. I agree with all of it.
Mo Hurst, baby. Uber driver Mo Hurst.
Yeah, Uber driver Mo.
Uber driver Mo, man. So I pulled a book out of, or a page out of your book when we were sitting down with him the other day, and I asked him, what is his weirdest Uber story?
You know, that's my favorite question
favorite
to
story.
Ask
yeah,
any
question.
Lyft driver, any Uber driver.
Yeah, you say, what's your weirdest story? But yeah, so tune in, Raiders.com. You'll find out what Mo's most unique Uber situation was. And like I said, he's a good dude. UDFAs now, right? So much of rookie minicamp is getting a better read on them. I mean, there's only so much you can take from seeing, you know, seeing these guys on tape and talking to coaches and pro days, yada, yada. But, you know, now you got to see all these guys in uniform, running plays, running around, doing their deal. And like we said, the Raiders only signed 600 after free agents, which, as we mentioned, is a bit of a deviation of, you know, from the pattern of years past. But it's a pretty interesting list. And I think that we'd be remiss not to mention the top guy on that top, whatever adjective you want to use. But the guy who kind of jumps off the page when you look at that list is the kicker from Florida, Eddie Pinheiro. Not only a teammate of Johnny Townsend, the punter, but a dude with an absolute cannon of a leg. He's got a YouTube video floating around. Go check it out. Where he kicks an 81-yarder, I think it is.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, dude. I mean, we weren't granted. I mean, I was probably not the peak of my athleticism when I was 16, but we had, I was on the soccer team, and the kicker for the football team got hurt. I think he, like, tore his ACL or something. So one day the soccer or the football coach comes out to soccer practice, and he goes, like, all right, boys, can any of you guys kick field goals? And so we're like, oh, man, I mean, I guess. And so he kind of just lines us up, and we took a couple warm-ups, and I knocked one in from 32. So 32.
That's not bad.
No, not bad, but that was without pads. That was without anyone coming at me.
How did it look going through it? Was it kind of wobbly, or did it have that straight up and down spiral, you know?
I'm going to say right in the middle. I mean, it definitely wasn't a duck. Like, it got there, but it certainly wasn't like, you know, a sea bass or a Giorgio or a Pinheiro kind of kick. But I mean, it got there. So, but dude, I literally had to put everything I had into getting it 32 yards. I can't even imagine, like.
Did someone hold it for you?
Yeah, we had a holder.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a holder.
It wasn't like one of the little stand-up.
No. I mean, we took warm-ups on the stand, but yeah, when it was for like the quote unquote tryout, yeah, we had a dude holding for us. But 81 yards is just ridiculous, ridiculous, ridiculous. So yeah, he's obviously a guy that I think seeing him and Giorgio go back and forth throughout the offseason program and training camp is going to be a lot of fun. So just skipping ahead a little bit, we wrap up rookie minicamp and surprise, surprise, we got personnel moves. So real quick, Paul Butler, Henry Poggi, Chris Warren in, Nick Sharga, Elijah Hood, Joby St. Flour out. So, yeah, obviously these three guys, this trio made an impression on Gruden and Reggie this weekend. Chris Warren in particular is a dude that I'm really excited to see. I was talking to our boss Vito when we were watching practice on Saturday, and I was like, dude, I don't know if this guy can play football, if he's a good running back or what the deal is, but he is huge.
What, 6'2"?
Huge, pushing 250. He is huge. And so I was doing a little homework on him yesterday. Actually, I can't even take credit for that. I was on Twitter, and a couple UT fans, Chris Warner went to Texas, were in the mentions going back and forth, and actually provided a lot of good information about Chris Warren. So shout out to you guys out there on the Twitter sticks. You know who you are. But so Chris Warren played, he was converted to tight end for a little bit. So he's played tight end, fullback. I mean, he's huge, so it makes sense to play him as a tight end or a fullback. But he wanted to get back to running the ball and playing running back. So he's a guy that, like I said, I don't know. I'm certainly not the king of talent evaluation. I don't know if he's a good running back, you know, kind of what he brings to the table. But dude is an absolute monster. So he's a guy that I'm excited to see.
I mean, tackling Marshawn Lynch is one of the last things I'd ever want to do, but also tackling someone that's 6'2", 250, running with a full head of steam at you.
Yeah.
I'm going to step out of the way on that one.
Yeah. So, yeah, Gruden, obviously, you know, his love of the fullback is not a secret. Henry Poggi, fullback from Michigan, Harbaugh guy, And we saw a great picture that was unearthed the other day. Shout out our guy, Dicey Dave Griffin, who found Henry Pogge. I don't know how to say his last name, so I'm sorry, Henry. But big fan of Stone Cold Steve Austin. So yeah, I mean, if we got a fan of Stone Cold in the house, that's good enough for me. It's very fitting, too, to be like a fullback and ride with Stone Cold, isn't it?
Yeah, who doesn't love Stone Cold?
But I feel like Stone Cold, like if Stone Cold was like incarnated as a football player, I feel like he'd be a fullback.
Really? I think middle linebacker.
I don't know.
Those are both gritty positions.
Yeah, but I feel like Stone Cold's that guy. You're a fullback, you know, kind of, you know, in the trenches, just looking to clear a path.
Yeah,
you
just know, doing a lot of dirty work.
With a head of steam. I don't know. I mean, Stone Cold's not going to be a wide receiver, obviously.
Oh, no. That would be a sight to see, though.
Yeah, or a cornerback or something like that. But, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I ride with Henry. Henry, we'll get you on the pod. We'll talk about Stone Cold. We'll have a blast. Dude, so we haven't even talked about, and I don't know how we haven't even gotten here yet, but Derek Johnson.
Yeah, the newest member of the Oakland Raiders.
Yeah, welcome to the dark side, Derek.
He's going to look a lot better in silver and black than he's going to look in that Chiefs red.
Absolutely. So, Derek Johnson, Coach Gruden announced it. Looking back to last Friday, that was a really busy day. We had the rookie availability, the first day of rookie minicamp, and Coach Gruden announced that we signed Derek Johnson. So, for those of you who don't know, I'm sure most of you know Derek Johnson. He's been in the division for the past decade on the Chiefs. Arguably the most decorated Kansas City Chief on the defensive side of the football in franchise history. The team's leading tackler, a consummate leader, a dude who has been an all-pro, a pro bowler, has 6 playoff games under his belt. I mean, has really done everything. And he's certainly in the latter portion of his career. I mean, I don't think that anyone would deny that. I don't think he would deny that. But this is a dude who's still got a lot of juice left in the tank. And, you know, we saw him at practice yesterday. He was on the field as you're going through meetings and stuff with his new teammates. I mean, this isn't a dude who looks 35, though.
No, he looks like a younger dude. And, I mean, we've said it before, but John Gruden and Reggie McKenzie have brought in playoff experience, more playoff experience, and more playoff experience.
Right.
You can't have enough of that, enough veteran leadership. We've got a young core on the
Raiders. Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that we need to, you know, just talk about straight off the bat, is that, yes, I mean, you look at the age of this team, and you have a very young nucleus, right? Derek, Khalil, Coop.
Joseph.
Joseph, yeah. All young guys. But, you know, there's definitely position groups that skew a little bit younger and skew a little bit older. That's, you know, it's not a surprise. It's any football team in the NFL. But you look at the linebacker core in general, and I'm not going to include Bruce Irvin in that because it sounds like he's going to be playing a lot more defensive end this year, doing what he does best, getting after the quarterback, which is outstanding news for all of us. But taking him out of the linebacking group, That's a young group, dude. That's a really young group. Obviously, we parted ways with Corey James the other day, but you look at guys, Nicholas Morrow, Markell Lee, who am I forgetting?
We got Tyre Whitehead now.
Tyre Whitehead, yeah, a veteran guy. Certainly.
He's right in that middle of the
group.
Yeah,
but he's kind of in that sweet spot age. I mean, but there's not, you look at that group, Emmanuel Lamour, another young guy, but you look at that group and there's not kind of that established, older veteran presence, and I think that's exactly what Derek Johnson is and what Derek Johnson is going to be for that position group. I mean, you put him in there right now, day one, and that group is better than it was the day before.
Definitely. I mean, they say anywhere you look in the NFL, the linebacker position is the quarterback spot of the defense.
Sure.
Right? They're seeing the field, they're conducting the plays, they're telling people where to line up, where they need to be.
Yep.
Derek Johnson's seen pretty much any situation that you can put him in the NFL.
Absolutely. You know, and I think that you bring up a great point. There is not going to be anything that he sees on Sunday this year, whether it's week 1, week 9, week 17, the playoffs hopefully, that he hasn't seen before.
No. And, I mean, that's going to go a long way for the younger guys because obviously they haven't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's no shot at any of the younger guys. That's just, this is a guy who's been in the league for over a decade.
Yeah.
Right?
He's earned that role.
Yes. You cannot replicate just live reps and experience. You can't do it.
Mm-mm.
So he obviously solidifies the middle of that defense. This defense has a quarterback. And one thing I thought was interesting, too, and obviously after the signing of Derek Johnson, the first question is, well, what does this mean for Navarro Bowman? And I thought it was pretty coy on Coach's part to say, look, that door is not closed yet. So who knows how that'll shake out. But Derek Johnson, I mean, you look at this guy's resume. My goodness. Like we said, Chiefs leading tackler, Pro Bowler, All-Pro, playoff experience, I should say. And this is a good move. This is a sneaky, kind of under the radar, under the cover of darkness type of move that I think that when we look back on the 2018 Raiders, you know, whenever that is, a year from now, I think the signing of Derek Johnson is going to be one of those moves that you go, that kind of set the tone and kind of solidified what this defense wanted to be.
I think that's a good point. I also want to add, too, that we've definitely talked about how John Gruden and McKenzie wanted to go out and get a veteran linebacker who can lead these younger guys.
Yeah, not a secret there.
But Derek Johnson has also said that he wants to be here.
Yeah,
you know, he wants to be here because he wants to win, for one. And he saw a team that's on the rise. We've got a lot of talent, as we all know. And he wants to be in the AFC West. And, you know, it's no secret that we've had our rough patches against the Chiefs in the past couple of years. This is a dude who is on that Chiefs defense who's going to know the ins and outs of what they try to do.
Absolutely. And two great points. One, he wants to be here. That, I don't think you can put enough stock in. Now, this is a guy who wants to be in Oakland, a guy who wants to wear the silver and black. That's huge, right? I mean, you can be one of those guys who, I'm going to go to X team. I'm going to collect my paycheck, my 16, 17 game checks, whatever it is, and then I'm going to move on. That is not Derek Johnson. Derek Johnson wants to be in Oakland. He wants to play for Sean Gruden, and he wants to win here. He wants to win here. And your other point, a great point, that obviously the past couple of years, the Chiefs have kind of had our number a little bit, and Derek Johnson is a guy who knows probably better than anyone excluding Andy Reid what they like to do. And that, a point that can't be overstated, a point that cannot be oversold, that Derek Johnson knows the Kansas City Chiefs, arguably the Silver and Black's biggest rival in the division, better than almost anyone out there. It's huge. Absolutely huge.
I'm excited because I feel like there's going to be some good matchups between a young Patrick Mahomes and Derek Johnson in the Silver and Black. He's going to be able to give the kid a hard time. Not that he's seen too much from Pat Mahomes because he hasn't, you know, as we know, he hasn't really played in the NFL yet. But he's gone up against him in practice. He knows what Andy Reid's going to try to do with him. It's going to be good.
Dude, first time Derek Johnson lights up a Kansas City Chief is going to be... I'll keep my eye on him because I think he's probably got a little something-something lined up, something gassed up for that celebration. Another thing, a completely much lighter side of things, Derek Johnson in 56. So when we get a chance to sit him down, I'm going to find out what he had to give to Azeem Victor, rookie linebacker, who was wearing 56 up until Mr. Johnson's arrival. I'd love to know kind of how that deal was greased a little bit. Or does Azeem, being the young guy, pay homage to Derek Johnson and just give him the number?
I don't think Derek Johnson would have to give him anything. He's an established veteran in this league. This is a man who deserves 56. It's all he's ever worn.
Yeah, but you never know. I mean,
you never know. You could give him friendly compensation.
Yeah, friendly. Hey, you know, let me take you out to dinner, you know. Or, hey, you know, let me, you know, do something nice for you, you know, for the number. So I'm interested to see how that worked. And our guy Matt Walks had a great little point. He goes, if Azeem Victor ends up becoming, you know, the next Derek Johnson, right? He becomes his Hall of Fame linebacker. That's going to be a good trivia question, is what number did Azeem Victor start his career in? Because it won't have been 57.
Nope.
We're done. We're wrapping up. God, it seems like we've been here so much recently, but I'm having fun. I'm having a good time with it, having fun chopping it up with you. So Raider Nation, hit us up. Let us know what you like, what you don't like, what we can do better at. Mold us. Tell us what you want. We're here for you. We're your mouthpiece. Let us know what's going on. So we will be back very soon, I'm sure. Because it seems like it's just that kind of off-season, right, where we kind of live
There's
here.
There's a lot to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely, which is a good thing. For our purposes, it's great. I'm not complaining at all. I love getting in the lab. So, we will be back very soon. We'll catch you on the flip side. Per usual, a huge shout-out to producer Trav, who is the real mastermind behind this, really. Kyle, thanks for hanging out, and we will catch you guys next time on the Official Raiders Podcast.
Thanks for listening to the official podcast of the Oakland Raiders.